We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Even if you stink, you can still score.
Checking up on the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United.
Listen up.
Let's go around the 404 with Rick and John.
All right, around the 404 we go on the Midday Show with Rick and John. You have found it, the Midday Party, y'all. And yes, Julio speaks. Ay, ay, ay. The TMZ reporters, they ask the most awkward questions, but they, in a roundabout way, get to the heart of the matter. And, of course, here in Atlanta, we've been kind of sort of waiting on Julio Jones to speak. And let's let you hear what Julio had to say.
You're going to be in Atlanta forever.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, we're good. We're talking today. We're good.
You're working it out, the contract negotiations.
Well, it's not even about that. You know, everybody want a story right now. There's no story to be told. You know what I mean? I'm just working. I'm getting myself better. I'm just working on myself right now. That's all it is. There's no bad blood between me and the team or anything like that. Just everybody, man, on the outside trying to look in and trying to destroy what we got, what we built there. I love the team. I love the organization. I love everybody there. We're good.
I mean, he basically said what we all have been thinking. I love the fact that the guy goes, contract negotiation, Julio, because it's not even about that. Working on myself, getting better. I don't know where he's working, but he's working.
The non-existent contract negotiations, that was funny to me. Very funny to me. Emo, do you have the other soundbite from Julio Jones? Where he talks about raw talent, Calvin Ridley. Why would he throw shade on his Alabama brethren that way?
I mean, he is raw talent.
No, that's shade. John, that is shady as heck. Calvin Ridley is one of the best route runners to come out of college in 20 years. Am I right?
Yeah, he's a good route runner.
If you're raw, you're not a good route runner. You're not. If you're raw, that's like the thing that you need to get good at. You're big, you're tall, you're strong, you're fast. You come to the NFL, you learn how to run routes and play the position. Calvin Ridley already knows how to play the position, Julio.
Here's Julio talking about Calvin Ridley running routes.
I'm very excited. So much I can teach him. He's a raw talent, very talented guy. But coming to the next level, it's always good to have an older head guy in there to help you. And he's built by Alabama, went to Alabama, man. Everything
roll
about
tide.
Him. Roll Tide. He gonna come with it.
So it started with raw talent. Then he said he's a good talent. Then he said he's going to come with it.
Boo. And the guy, I mean, what is it? What is the TMZ reporter? Is friggin' hype man with Roll Tide? I mean, are you a journalist or are you, what are you? Are you Flava Flav? Are you, Jeremy Schapp? What are you here?
I mean, let's be real. And shout out to TMZ and TMZ Sports. They have done a great job creating their own niche in the media industry. They get guys that are going to go hang around and try to figure out. They're going to be on the car wash on 14th Street waiting for Roddy White to show up or John Collins to get a court.
Or you.
No, they're not.
Falcons sideline reporter John Michaels, get him. He's getting away. Run.
First of all, I could have a shirt on that says Falcons sideline reporter, and they would walk right past me. Now, they have caught Hugh Douglas downstairs here at Colony Square. I'm waiting for them to catch Rick Kamla into the Kia Sorento. I don't know. Rick Kamla, your thoughts on the NBA Finals? Go.
Can't wait. Thursday night, ABC, that is Finals true. Film Room. The next night on NBA TV.
Paul did say something true. You park way too far down.
Good point.
You're on
good
like point, 413.
I'm on the blue level. Oh, my God. So I'm working my way down here at Colony Square, right in Midtown, okay, 14th and Peachtree. Like many of you know this whole area. Fox Sports is here with us, many other companies. So you've got the red level, then the gold level, then the blue level. Blue is at the bottom. I've told you that I've parked down there for months and years now because I don't want door dings. All right, John, so I'm turning a corner, and this guy in a white pickup truck backs out and kind of stops me from going where I want to go. Okay, no problem, dude. Do your thing. I'll park when I can park. He goes, bam, and hits the car that's parked on the other side of the little the aisle way there and just drives off.
Really?
Yep. Just drives off. And I'm like, Should I get involved? Nah, I got a radio show to do. That ain't my fight, right? But that's why I park on blue. This guy literally just bashed into a car and, wow, and created fender damage, and I don't know. I don't know how much it would have, but it would have been enough damage to file a claim about it. That and is, the dude just kept driving. Wow. So I'm just saying, guys, have your head on a swivel down there.
Well, that's all right. I was in the red deck, and Paul has found a loophole in the parking, which I won't share in case there's people.
Because it's too good of a secret,
yeah,
right?
It's an unbelievable
spot. Keep that under wraps.
That Paul has found a loophole. But I was on the red level, and there was a spot. I'm like, cool, I'm going to get a spot. Nope, some jack wagon, when they turned their car in and made the left in, the entire front bumper and wheel area of their car is all the way in the other spot. So they're kind of sitting catty corner to get in there. If I had a jalopy, I would have like shoved my car in there so they couldn't have pulled out. Like literally.
A jalopy.
Yeah, I would have had to have like.
What about a hoopty, John?
Yeah, if I would have had an 87 beater, I would have just and pulled that right on in there and not let him go.
But, you know, we can move on and talk about other stuff here around the 404 as we keep it local on the Midday Show with Rick and John. But the part about, you know, Julio talking about Calvin Ridley saying there's so much I can teach him. Mm-hmm. How the hell are you teaching him anything not being at, you know, Flowery Branch?
He'll get it.
And, you know, I'm working on myself. I get it. I just got to stand down on this whole thing. But I'm definitely feeling some kind of way. I'm not stirring up trouble. It's to me, John, here's what it is. It's a rainstorm in the middle of the NFL's dead zone.
Okay.
That's all this is. It's not sitting well with me, but life goes on and life moves on. And as long as he is at the mandatory camp that's coming up later this month, then I think he'll be there.
Yeah, and it sounded that way, like this is much ado about nothing. And again, it could still be behind the scenes. Yo, bro, I want a little bit more cash. But if it doesn't play out on the surface, that's what his agent's there for. His agent's supposed to be angling for more money.
Super quick. If Calvin Ridley heard that and he heard Julio Jones call him a raw talent, how do you think he's taking that?
I don't think it bothers him because he followed it up with he's a talent and he's going to come in here and do stuff.
So you're saying he was cleaning up
the
salty, shady soundbite with a little spin control, a little damage control?
Maybe. But I don't find
I'd be
raw
feeling
talent.
Some kind of way if I were Calvin Ridley.
Dude.
Be like, how many championships you win at Alabama, Julio?
Okay, how many balls have you caught in the NFL, Calvin?
I get it.
Not one.
And then if I'm Calvin, yourself. I come back, well, I wasn't second in the NFL in drop passes last year, Julio.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't go that far because you've yet to catch a pass in the NFL. And judging by first-round receivers a year ago, ask Preacher Man with Corey Davis, get out there and do something before you run your mouth.
All right, let's move on, man.
All right, let's go around the 404 and we continue with this. Hey, the Hawks continuing some pre-draft workouts. We were talking NBA and what you need to do, and the Hawks in the middle of a reset. This is a scenario where you got to nail it. You've got to find that next star, and you hope at number three, whether it's Doncic or Bagley or Ayton, if somehow he falls, whoever it may be, you've got to find that next guy if you're the Hawks. Because that's how you compete for championships in the NBA.
It's interesting, man. You know, last week we talked about some of the guys that they brought in. Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson of Villanova. Notably for me, I have not seen Trayvon Duvall, John, be brought in for a pre-draft workout, and I'm not super happy about that. I do think, and maybe they just can't work it out. Maybe they've made the decision they don't like him or, you know, don't want him on the team. I don't know. Landry Shamet is another guy, Wichita State. As we go at, of course, 30 and then 34, that's the Landry Shamet zone. And I think he's a terrific player and a good prospect. Haven't seen him on here. But here's who is working out today out at Emory Sports Medicine Complex in Brookhaven. Kyran Bowman of Boston College. Don't know much about that dude. Carson Edwards of Purdue. I do know about him. Played in a lot of big games. Kerem Cantor of Xavier. Not really sure what's going on with him. Dorian Pickens of Stanford, Tremont Waters of LSU, Kenrick Williams of TCU. I am familiar with his game. But the one guy who's not there was originally supposed to be there, and his name is Anthony Simons.
Yeah.
The kid that's coming out of IMG Academy, and I've seen video on him. He is an electric athlete. And where I think Julio incorrectly called Calvin Ridley a raw talent. Anthony Simons is the definition of a raw talent. Jumps out of the gym, great athletic ability, 6'3", he's got a good point guard body, and obviously a long way to go with the game. But I don't know why, John, but I got an email from Hawks PR that he was going to be working out for our Hawks today, and it kind of excited me because at 19 he'd be a great pick. And I know I want Dante DiVincenzo, but that's assuming that Anthony Simons goes to, like, Phoenix at 16.
Right.
But he will not be working out for the Hawks, and I don't know why, but to me, that's not great news.
You know what this tells you when you just go down that list? What a crapshoot after the lottery becomes. I mean, you're talking about 19, 30, and 34, and you probably are going to work out 35, 40 guys. Now, again, it's due diligence. It's what the Hawks are supposed to do. But there's no guarantee. Getting a John Collins where they did a year ago and having that guy potentially as one of the cornerstones of your franchise, that was great scouting and nothing short of amazing.
It was. And here's the thing. It was last year was a much better draft.
Mm-hmm.
It just was. Dude, Kuzma was a late first-round pick. Dylan Brooks of Oregon was a mid-second-round pick. Last year's draft was much better, much deeper. It's going to be harder to find that John Collins at 19 or 30 or 34 this year. A lot harder.
It is. But, again, this is where you need to nail it. And this is where, and I've seen all these rumors, best way to do, the Hawks might be looking to trade pieces plus player to move up in the draft. Because I think 19 to 30, it is a crapshoot.
Yeah, no doubt. The problem is the intel I got last week, right? Mm-hmm. That there is no trade value for Dennis Schroeder.
Right.
I've heard three plugged-in people tell me that there is no trade value
That's
for Dennis
crazy.
Schroeder. Three. Not one. Three. Mm. And none of them have an axe to grind against Dennis Schroeder or the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what they've heard and what they know and what is. And that's a bummer. That is a real bummer. Because to package him, he obviously doesn't want to be here. So we got to get him out of here. So let's get an asset back for him. Doesn't sound like we're going to be able to do that.
I think if they are able to package together a pick, potentially they can find a way to get Dennis out of here. But again, that's just going to be, you're going to have to throw something in to get him there. Let's try to throw you $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Urban. U-R-B-A-N. Urban's your code word. The code word needs to be text to 72881.
It is an urban myth that John Michaels is a white guy.
I also check the Urban Dictionary from time to time when I'm not sure what people are actually saying. 72881 is the text line. Urban is the word. That's your chance to win $1,000. Some would say folks don't particularly care for Urban Meyer unless you're an Ohio State fan.
I know that Keith Urban is a country star, but that's all I know, Mark Owen. What else do you know about Keith Urban?
Married to Nicole Kidman.
Is really? He really?
So
Nicole Kidman, the Australian actress. He's married to her?
They've been together after she...
Okay, that's a fun fact.
After her contract with Tom Cruise was done, she went and got her a country star.
Let's be real.
Did they boot her out of the Scientology church, too? Is that how that went?
Wow. I'm going to leave that completely alone, and we're going to move on. Let's talk some Atlanta United real quick. Good news.
Boy, that just shut down that conversation, didn't it?
Eight
Sorry.
Players nominated.
Dang.
Eight players nominated to be All-Stars in MLS from Atlanta United. Bad news, though. Greg Garza, and I read this somewhere.
What happened to Garza?
Shoulder surgery. Going to be out for a
while.
Are
you serious?
Yeah.
Damn, I miss that. I've been so locked in on bat. By the way, Atlanta United plays tomorrow. Super excited about that.
Huh.
And it's at Philadelphia. You will hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, he underwent shoulder surgery already, and I think Tata Martino already said he's going to be out a while. Not sure when.
That's a buzzkill.
Yeah.
That is a real buzzkill. But eight Atlanta United performers, obviously including Almiron and Martinez and Gazan, are up for MLS All-Star. And, oh, by the way, it's here in Atlanta at SunTrust Park, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. All right, put it down. My first blooper of the week. But I'm excited about the MLS All-Star game coming here, man. But, man, you kind of took some wind out of my sails with the Garza news, bro.
Well, I mean, you know, I got to let the folks know what's going on and not doing well for Greg Garza.
I mean, Memorial Day weekend, we've all been doing our thing, whether it's yard work, partying, watching sports.
Yard work. It rained all weekend. My lawn guy didn't come until this week.
That's a good call.
Here's the funny thing. Knox and I were talking, and Knox was like, man, I need another day off where, you know, the wife doesn't make me clean. And I said, yeah, my wife does the same thing. She thinks because she wants to clean, we all need to clean. And Knox goes, I can give you our lady's number. No, I don't pay somebody I'm not in that tax bracket to pay somebody to clean my house.
I like the way he thinks.
Preacher Man said it best. That's why we have kids. Did you give the kids a list today, or are they off to camp?
No, they're at camp today. They've survived. I gave them a list on Friday when they were home. And Amy's like, they've been out of school one day. I was like, yeah, but they're sitting home. They got stuff to do.
The funniest thing is Paul gets like the FaceTime. "Hey, Dad, I finished the bathroom." And Paul goes, show me the tub. That's horrible. Do it again. And you better be done right in 2 hours before I get." And he just hangs up the phone. Like, Paul rules with an iron fist.
He does, and his kids are very well-mannered, and that's no coincidence. So the eight guys are Gazan, as we said, Almirón and Martinez. Barco also up for it, nominated for All-Star. And Julian Gressel, Parkhurst, and LGP, and also Nagby. So, again, eight MLS players nominated for the All-Star.
You think MLS might – there might be some people around MLS a little salty with that.
They're not going to have Geiger on the game, are they?
Probably. They'll have a video review, and Atlanta United will be taking a goal away for something they play later down the road.
I heard Geiger's going off to the World Cup.
He can stay.
Good riddance.
Is it in Russia this year?
I have no idea.
Can we just leave him there?
Is it in Russia?
I'm pretty sure it is.
We got to do a little tournament. Like names in a hat, we pull it out or something like that. Otherwise, I will not care. If there's juice boxes on the line, even if I grab Germany, Greece, Slovenia, Brazil, Argentina, I'll just cheer for whichever team I pull out.
We're going to give you Angola.
Fine.
They got to be better in their basketball.
Just don't let Angola play Charles Barkley.
Barkley
USA basketball.
Hey, NFL bounce coming up next. Dez Bryant knows where he wants to play for. Does that team have the same feelings about him? That's next.
Let's talk about the Shield here on the Midday Show with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9. The game right around the bend. It's the Preacher Man's Time to Shine with From the Bible. Top of the hour. Knox Barnett of 92.9thegame.com will drop by for our weekly barbershop Bicker Fest.
We got to find out, is Knox more American this week? Because he said Luka Doncic has to be more American.
You really called him out.
Yeah.
Really challenged the young man to Americanize his game.
Mm-hmm.
We had fun with that.
I'm not sure what that meant, but that's okay.
I just told Sean Thompson, if you put an I's at the end of any word, you create a new word.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a little creative. But John, you were talking about Dez Bryant, and he's decided where he wants to play. And you asked the question, but does the team really want him as well? I'm going to go without even knowing the team, and I legitimately don't know the team. I'm going to say that the team is feeling differently about Dez than he is about them.
See, I think the team may eventually want him only because they are lacking at wide receiver.
Give me the team.
The San Francisco 49ers.
No way.
Why not?
No way. No way. Dez Bryant is like the final piece ish to a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco's not going for it this year.
But he's not a go-for-it guy. He's not going to be getting go-for-it money.
I'm not bringing in an anti-culture guy to my rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Hell no. No way.
I mean,
no way.
Who are their number ones over there?
I mean, they need wide receiver help. There's no question about that. Bingo, A-plus diagnosis. They could use a Dez Bryant or a player like him.
Yep.
If I'm trying to go for it, maybe I bring him in. I don't think that San Fran they're in an 8-lane highway, John. They're in the second to the right lane right now? Maybe the lane right next to the HOV lane. They're not in the HOV lane yet, though.
See, but I think if you're San Francisco and you look and you go, all right, we won our last six games. We finished 6-10 a year ago. We have our quarterback of the future in place in Jimmy Garoppolo. We have a youngish, up-and-coming type of team. Why would I not want to take a chance? No, they're not fast lane going to the Super Bowl, but can they be fast lane get to the playoffs potentially? Think about that division. Arizona starting over. Seattle is on the downswing. Some would say outside of Russell Wilson, they're really starting over. Okay, I get it. The Rams are going for a Super Bowl. But why couldn't the 49ers in that division look and go, dude, we could fight. Here's their receivers. Tell me where you're impressed. Marquise Goodwin. Played well last year.
He's better than Taylor Gabriel.
Pierre Garçon, who's 138. Trent Taylor.
Pretty good, plucky, gritty, gutty gym rat.
Dante Pettis, draft pick. Like him. Kendrick Bourne. No, not from the Bourne Identity. Richie James. Aldrick Robinson.
Why did it take you so long to get to former Falcon Aldrick Robinson?
I'm just going down the list of how they have him listed.
Where are you looking at this?
CBS Sports. It's their depth chart.
Go to Roto-World.
Victor Bolden, Max McCaffrey, Aaron Burnbridge, Stephen Dunbar.
I like Burnbridge.
He absolutely has a spot
good
on
player
that
for
team.
Michigan State. Nah. I'm telling you. I see the need.
Mm-hmm.
I see the fit. I think. Do you think Dez Bryant and Kyle Shanahan would get along for 1 minute of one day?
I don't know.
Nah, that ain't going to work, man. I'm telling you. So has San Fran floated this, or did Dez Bryant?
Dez Bryant did.
What, like he just said, I want to play for San Francisco.
I believe it was on his Instagram page.
Okay. So what this tells me is this is the depths of the desperation that Dez Bryant has hit. Nobody wants to play for the 49ers right now. You got Jimmy G. They are 2, 3, 4 years away from doing anything legitimate, I think. There is so much grooming. John, when Kyle Shanahan took over that San Francisco job, what did we say about it? It was the most devoid of talent team in the NFL.
Yep.
And that was 1 year ago. And all they've done is they've had two drafts in free agency since we said they had the worst talent in the NFL. They've gotten better talent-wise, clearly, with all these draft picks, and they made some decent moves. They overpaid Jerick McKinnon way too much money. They overpaid Marquise Goodwin as well. Nope. I just don't think – I think it's a need, but not a fit, given where Dez is at this point in his career. Like, is Dez going to go in there and help a Dante Pettis or a Trent Taylor or any of their young guys? He ain't trying to help anybody. He's trying to catch balls and get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see him as a culture fit at all with San Fran.
I just think that he's a guy that could still go catch 60 balls in that offense. You know, Kyle likes to spread it around. And, you know, yeah, there was the misstep with him and Roddy coming down the stretch. But and maybe they're in sort of similar spots. But not really, because Dez isn't a mainstay. He'd be going there trying to do a one-off and see what he could do. I think with what's out there, it's there. It's Green Bay. You know, he's not going to go to Chicago. I'm trying to think of teams that desperately need receiver help. And Green
Bay, Seattle Seahawks.
The Seahawks do need receiver help.
They do. And if that'd be a better fit. They've got the infrastructure to handle a personality like Dez Bryant. I mean, they've been like the most personality-driven team in the league the last 5 years. And you still have leaders in place, I think, that could – absorb a personality like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, literally, their receivers are Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett, and they could use a Dez Bryant.
So over the weekend, this story broke coming out of New England. A guy by the name of Cassius Marsh. You know who Cassius Marsh is?
I do. He's got a bunch of tattoos. Good football player.
Well, he is now a member, I believe, of the San Francisco 49ers. And apparently didn't like his time in New England. Was quoted as saying, I hated being in New England.
Yeah, 49ers.
It was no fun being there. And apparently took some shots at fans as well in Boston.
You did?
Yeah. And I'm trying to
pull up. You had me at ripping Boston fans. Mm-hmm. You had me there, hook, line, and sinker.
He did this. He said, I just want to address all you Patriot fans who didn't like the new article. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings. Seems to be, come on, this computer is just dying. Seems to be breaking your heart. But if you can't handle the truth, stay off my page.
Mm-hmm.
Don't read articles. That's how I felt. That's how I still feel. I'm grateful to be away from there, grateful to be where I am.
And he was with New England last year, and so it was a one and done. Obviously didn't get it done with a Super Bowl victory. Now he goes to San Fran. Presumably they gave him a little bit of money. But how many players have we heard? Like a lot of guys like to be hard coached.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they have no problem with Belichick and his whole crew and the whole seriousness of it. And do your job. Do your job.
Right.
Just do your job.
Mm-hmm.
And shut up.
Getting grinded, and if you're not perfect, you're cut.
All that. Some guys really like that environment, John. Mm-hmm. You know, from playing all the sports that you have. Some guys don't. And in today's 2018 coddle the athlete society, I would say more don't like the Belichick culture than like it. And by the way, you are not guaranteed of a championship with Bill Belichick. It's not like going to Steve Kerr and the Warriors, where you're kind of sort of guaranteed of a ring, Nick Young. But not in New England. I mean, you're going to be probably in the suit, but you're not guaranteed to win it.
No, you're not. It is one of the premier franchises, though, in all of sports. And this comes across as a little bit sour grapes. But it also, again, goes to the point that you said, this isn't the first player that's left New England and said, I hated it there. It's a culture of you're going to do everything my way, and if you don't like it, I'll cut you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
And we're not giving you a raise.
No.
So the second you start asking for more money,
Malcolm Butler,
we start looking for your replacement.
Yep, or we just
that's just what they do.
We just bench you in the Super Bowl and tell everybody around you, deal with it.
And essentially boot a Super Bowl for the sake of proving a point. That's really what Belichick did by benching Butler. He put proving a point in the precious culture of the Patriots over winning a Super Bowl, because that's a different football game if Malcolm Butler plays.
Oh, yeah, I believe it is. And, you know, it's a, you win a Super Bowl because of Malcolm Butler. You lost one maybe without him. Hey, the NFL and the NFL Network continued their releasing of the top 100 players. They did 41 through 50. Still no Falcons outside of Devontae Freeman, but 41 through 50 was released, I believe, Monday night. I think I saw that on TV. Deshaun Watson was number 50.
My guy Deshaun Watson was
Deshaun
in there?
Deshaun Watson.
Half man, half a season?
That's him.
He was 50?
You can't give him that.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that hurt.
I was just seeing if you were paying attention
come on.
There.
I'm always paying attention.
I was just seeing if you were
listening,
paying attention.
Watching, judging.
My guy. No, I love Deshaun Watson. I do. Y'all know that. It's very, very documented. I'm with that. And it made 50. How could he be ahead of... Just watch. I mean, people are sleeping on him. He's coming off an ACL, John. Mm-hmm. They're still going to be sleeping on him. The Houston Texans very possibly might win the AFC this year.
Mm-hmm.
They are a... I would actually put them closer to New England right now than the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't trust the Steelers, dude.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't trust those jokers at all. I don't. They're talented. They're going to be in the playoffs.
Though, Houston or Jacksonville?
Good question, Houston. And it's all about Watson versus Blake Bortles.
Yeah,
did you see J.J. Watt courtside the other night for that game? Didn't he look like full? But last year at the end of the year, he sort of had deflated a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming back from injury. He just looked fair to partly skinny on the sideline for Houston. He looked swole hanging out with Justin Timberlake at that NBA game in Houston. He looks ready to go, and he's saying he's ready to go.
So apparently we now know where the beginning of the end was for the Seattle Seahawks, and it was pretty simple. It was right when Malcolm Butler intercepted the ball at the goal line. Cliff Avril was speaking on a podcast. He said Seahawks players were upset with the play call and failed to buy into Carroll's system after that crucial error. He said, quote, "Guys started questioning him more instead of following his lead if we had won the Super Bowl." He said, "If we win that Super Bowl, I think we would have won another one." He said, "I don't think that team would have bought into what Coach Carroll was saying instead of going the opposite way."
I agree 1,000%. You saw the very next year. Do you remember you had Richard Sherman calling out play calling by the offensive coordinator the season after they blew the Super Bowl with the worst play call in Super Bowl history? You're at the 1 yard line. You give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. You pound it in, and you have a parade.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they ran a stupid slant, pattern right at the goal line where all the traffic is, and it gets intercepted, and you lose. So, look, we saw that. We didn't necessarily need Cliff Avril to come out and say this to already have that speculation, but that doesn't surprise me at all.
Hey, Five Stripe supporters, you can join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game tomorrow, 7 o'clock, Big Tex in downtown Decatur to see Atlanta United take on New England Revolution, plus a chance to win Atlanta United gear and prizes coming up. Big Tex downtown Decatur. We take a break. We come back. It's From the Bible with the Preacher Man.
Well, Rick and John bring the knowledge.
You're smart.
Preacher Man brings these stories you missed. And yes, the research material.
Open up, air out.
This is From the Bible.
Hallelujah!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Okay, so we're going to hand it off to the Preacher Man here. And the story that he just teased, I had to have the Preacher Man watch on Twitter the story that he's describing. Because I saw this over the weekend, and it was one of the most nauseatingly cheesy bits of video I have ever seen in my life, Preacher Man.
That's right. From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4-FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. All right, we're going to save that.
Even after a holiday week, you just knock it out.
That's right. I still got it. All right, so as we know, the Golden State Warriors won Game 7. Now they're headed to the NBA Finals for the fourth time against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Were on their way home last night. They decided, I don't know if they were kind of trying to get on everybody's skin or whatnot, but as you all know, Usher happens to be a minority owner of the Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently Nick Young and company were sending a friendly message while passing around the trophy. Swaggy P took over music duties and busted out Usher's greatest hits, slow jams, including Nice and Slow, You Remind Me, and also Burn.
Wow. So he went straight R&B, something I would have been okay with. A little weird.
Old school playa.
It's a little John weird Michaels. To do that in a trophy celebration. Typically, it's a celebrate good time. You don't want to hear Slow Jam Usher at that time.
I don't. I definitely don't. But what's weirder? Nick Young trolling Usher by singing his slow jams, or Nick Young telling Ernie Johnson at the trophy presentation that, I don't want to be interviewed right now. You're in my moment.
Dude, you hit one shot. Get over yourself.
That's unprecedented. Nick Young, congratulations. You are the first athlete ever to deny an interview from one of the big boys after winning a championship.
Yeah.
Congrats. You're the first. Ernie Johnson, John.
We didn't even win a championship. They just advanced to the finals.
Well, I mean, you win a West championship. It is a championship, not the championship.
Right.
But nevertheless, winning the West, big deal. I think you'd be happy about it. Nah, Ernie, you're in my moment. And maybe am I in Usher's moment right now? Is that what?
Preacher Man's actually dancing right now with Mark. You're watching it.
He's just doing the side-to-side sway.
Yeah. Kind of like what we all did at our wedding. It's just sort of that, all right, people are watching me dance, and I'm not drunk enough.
By the way, have you guys all seen the Cavaliers-Warriors TV show open on Twitter? Because it says here, the tweet says, credits to my favorite TV show, Cavs versus Warriors, exclamation mark. And it has sort of a different strokes show open theme. But you guys got to go check that out on Twitter. It is hysterical.
I remember last year, fake Klay Thompson. Remember that guy?
We did
a story about him. You don't remember the guy? This guy looks like Klay Thompson and walks around.
Bingo, yes.
In the jersey.
Full
gear.
In Oakland, right?
Yeah, Well, he struck again. So apparently he was cruising around the Bay Area in a Porsche, which attracted a lot of attention a few hours before the game. This would be game 6. He made his way to the arena parking lot and pounded beers with some Warrior fans.
Nice.
Then when he entered the arena, fake Klay was again swarmed by fans asking for his autograph in the concourse. It's like he's
awesome.
Not supposed to be on the court. And apparently he sits right behind the bench. So it's like you got the real Klay and the fake Klay.
Yeah, he sits right behind the bench.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at pictures of fake Klay. He just looks like a slightly overweight Klay Thompson.
Right. But he's got similar facial features to Klay. Is Klay Thompson still dating Abigail Ratchford? Are they still an item?
I don't believe so.
Really? No?
No.
That was
short-lived.
Boy, that's a shame for Klay. I mean, I'm sure he has no problems.
I was going to say, going to their four straight finals, I don't think Klay Thompson's really worried or too
hurt. He's not. But you've seen Abigail Ratchford, right?
Yeah.
Whoa. You want some early research material. By the way, Klay Thompson, you know what, Preacher Man? I'm gonna get the – I have some, like, mind-boggling statistics on Klay Thompson. Continue on, and I want to circle back to this.
Well, I'm just going to finish this up. This guy, YouTube channel is – Big Dawes TV, that's BIGDAWS TV. Mm-hmm. And apparently he waited until Klay Thompson's introduction before he took off his warm-ups to reveal that he had a full uniform on underneath.
That is awesome.
And this is him sitting right behind the bench.
Okay, cool. I found it.
You got it?
Check this out. Klay Thompson, and this was after Game 6. I think he had 1-3 last night. I can't remember. But after Game 6 when he had 9 threes, he was 7th all-time in playoff threes.
Mm.
These are the guys with 289. These are the guys ahead of him. Kobe, Reggie, Manu, Curry, James, Allen. That's it. The guys below him. Derek Fisher. You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
I think he had played in the most playoff games ever. Paul Pierce and J.R. Smith. Klay Thompson, 7th. And check this out, John. The most threes ever made in a playoff game is 11 by Klay Thompson against OKC in Game 6 a couple of years ago. Remember? And then he had 9 in Game 6. So look at that. The list here of the most threes made in a single playoff game. Just read the names.
Yeah, it's Klay Thompson, Jason Terry, Ray Allen, Vince Carter, our boy Rex Chapman, Klay Thompson again.
I'm just saying, this is a Preacher Man. He's 7th all-time in playoff threes right now. It's crazy to me.
It's a totally different league. Didn't shoot that many threes back in the day.
Yeah, good point. Steph Curry, 3rd all-time playoff threes. What? Like, to your point, the game has changed, but that's also how good these guys are.
No, absolutely. I'm not taking anything away from just the way the game is played now. All right, so we alluded to the fact that Tom Brady was actually throwing passes, even though he wasn't in the Patriots OTAs. Well, apparently, Tom was in Monaco for the Grand Prix.
With Mike Bell.
With Mike Bell. I saw Mike Bell taking selfies.
Monaco.
Well, it turns out that he was on the Tag Heuer yacht. And when I say yacht, I mean freaking yacht.
Looked like the Love Boat.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, apparently he decided or was coaxed into throwing a pass from one yacht to a boat containing Formula One racer Daniel Ricciardo. He actually ended up winning the Grand Prix. Now, you can go check out this video, as Rick said.
I'd rather not.
It's
You just kind of need to.
It's really unimpressive, but the fact that, you know, Tom Brady's dressed completely in white, almost like a Diddy White party, and they're on this big old yacht, and he's throwing his boat, and this dude literally almost falls off the boat trying to catch this lob pass. It's just, you know, like, whatever.
So, and Tom Brady has the, and it's probably some, it's like a long sleeve cashmere, probably $10,000 sweater he's wearing.
Oh, yeah, it's a sweater.
And you know, the sleeves are just kind of pulled up
of course.
The arms about midway. I mean, he has the yacht look. And he throws a spiral to this race, to this auto racer who catches it. It's nauseatingly cheesy. Just if you're into that right now in this moment in time, knock yourself out.
Let's go around the room. Any of y'all been on a yacht party? Anybody?
Nah.
I haven't.
Never been on a yacht party. I've been on a boat. Does that count?
I got my drink on a dinghy.
I was going to say, I've been on a booze cruise, but the only thing they told us, they said, the surf will get really rough as we get to the island. We were leaving Cancun going to whatever islands out there. The surf will get really rough. If you are too drunk, don't get close to the edge. That's literally what they said. Like, they were like, stay in the middle of the boat so you don't get tossed over the edge. Because I don't think at like 9 o'clock at night in the sea outside of Cancun, they were circling back to get anybody.
Has Urania ever tried to get you to watch Below Deck?
The hell is
it's a reality
show. She hates
show.
That show.
She doesn't like it?
I remember her and Charity were having that conversation coming home from the Atlanta United game.
Yeah, a little blurry after that game. I don't quite remember that. Anyway, Charity's always
show.
Watching that show. She hates
yeah,
it, huh?
Can't stand
interesting.
It. But
interesting.
She did make me watch.
There's some eye candy on that show.
Some of that Casey Anthony. They had like a three-part series on 10 years later trying to figure out what really happened to poor Kaylee Anthony. 3 hours of her life that she couldn't get back, and I paid attention for about 9 minutes.
All right, as we always do, we always like to do updates on former stories. Mm-hmm. Both Mark and I have had this story. Michael Rotundo, the guy that got evicted from his parents' house. Okay, we have an update.
Uh-oh.
There's a place called Villa Italian Kitchen. They found mm-hmm. out about his situation, and they feel sympathetic. They say it's hard for millennials. They've decided to offer him a job. Give me a break with this crap. The restaurant decided to offer him $1,100 as a signing bonus, which beats his parents' offer of $1,100. Now, it says, at Villa, we feel for millennials across the board. It's tough out there. With that said, hey, Michael, we're offering you a store-level gig complete with an extensive training to get you up to speed at any one of our 250 locations worldwide.
So, wait. They are offering this dude a sign-on bonus and give him a job. You want to know what's wrong with America? That's what's wrong with America. So this jackwagon sits at home till he's 30, doesn't want to move out, ends up, first of all, on what was it, Ellen or whoever's show, because his parents are trying to kick him out, and now he gets a job offer. Yet you have people that will go to college and spend $100,000+ on a college education and come out and can't get that same job. And they gave him a sign-on bonus? Are you kidding me?
And you want to know what's even wronger about America?
What's that?
The lazy bum is going to turn down this generous offer from this pizza joint.
I'm sure.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the fact that you said wronger.
I'm cooking up all kinds of new words today.
Preacher Man will not be the wrongiest if he gives us research material right now.
All right, research material today. We're going to go. We're going to make it simple today. We're going to go with hot life models. That's it. Hot life models.
With a Z or with an S?
No, just straight normal.
Okay. Hot life models. Check.
All right, we'll check in with Knox Bardeen coming up next. But don't forget the 92.9 The Game Celebrity Golf Classic. It's going down Wednesday, June the 6th. Top Golf.
Going down, all right.
In Midtown. Grady Jarrett's part of the presenting sponsorship there. He'll be there. Brian Jordan, Vic Beasley, Muhammad Sanu. How about Tack McKinley? Does that tickle you a little bit, Rick?
What?
Huh? Tack McKinley. No. Okay.
Hot Life Models.
Hey, go to
Instagram.
Go to the event page right now, 929thegame.com, and register. Get your team. Knox Bardeen will come in. He's a hot life model, or he's a hot mess, one or the other.
Are you taking Doncic at 3?
I am. Absolutely. I think this guy's a game changer. Now we're going to have to get him over here and maybe.
And you want to know what's even wronger about America?
What's that?
Knox. And Knox Bardeen, on that note, is here in the Kia Studios with us, and he is getting a big laugh out of that. Yeah. Knox, what the hell is wrong with your fantasy baseball team? You were the champion last year.
0-9 last
year. Dude,
week.
I look at the standings. I'm like, oh, Knox, where? He's way down there.
Uh-huh.
We just got to throw some shade on Knox here to welcome him to the
Stanton's
to the
bum
Kia Studios.
Recently.
Go ahead and trade me
Rizzo's
Stanton.
A bum for me recently.
And a cheap shot artist.
Yeah.
Did you see that slide on the in the Pittsburgh series?
Yeah.
Dude.
Go ahead.
That was worthy of a bench clearing brawl.
Go ahead and trade me Stanton. You know you want to. Rick doesn't want me to have Stanton.
I don't. John got him last year.
I don't like the Yankees anyway, so I'll, you know.
I love the Yankees.
I'll sell them to you at 1.5 market value.
Okay, so before we get into the Bickerfest, we got to go back to last week.
No, come on.
Yeah, we
come
do.
Come on.
Here's the exercise we're going to do right now, Rick. Mark's going to play the clip of Knox saying what he said.
No, I disagree.
And then me, you, Paul, and Mark are going to go around the room and pick out what is the most uncomfortable or worst part of this clip.
Dumbest thing I've ever said here.
So if you've and that's saying a lot. So if you
wow.
So if you missed it, here's Knox Bardeen's, I don't even know how to call it, Bo, his breakdown of Luka Doncic.
Just are you taking Doncic at 3?
I am, absolutely. I think this guy's a game changer. Now we're going to have to get him over here and maybe move him around a little bit, make him a little more American.
Okay. There are so many things wrong with what he just said.
It's one of the greatest quotes in 92-90 game history, by the way.
I'm an idiot.
Okay, here's where I go with this. Okay, first of all, I think he's a game changer.
So we need to Americanize him? Is that what you're telling us, Knox?
Here's what's great about this. He starts off House of Fire.
Do I have to be in here for this?
Yes, yep. And you're turning
you're
bright red, which
preaching
is awesome.
Lock the door.
He starts with game changer, so you're off to a good start. We're going to move him around a little.
You'll move him around a little. What in the hell does that mean?
Hold up. Are we buying him one of those tiny houses and hooking him up to a Ford F-150?
I'm not getting paid enough for this abuse.
Not a tiny house. Let me guess, one of the realities. You guys watch a tiny house reality
show? It's so stupid. So to me, as I've listened to it more going forward, the move him around a little bit is the funniest part because I have no clue
just
what
move
that
him around
means.
A little bit.
I
you know,
you
Buckhead
all.
Today, Bankhead tomorrow. Just move him around a little bit.
So, Rick, what is more egregious in that whole quote? Is it the move him around a little bit or make him more American?
Oh, the make him more American right there. Definitely throwing shade on a European basketball player. No question about it.
Mark Owens, what do you think he meant by either one of those two clips? Move him around a bit or make him more American?
Apparently, Noxie has a MUGA hat on. He wants to make the Hawks great again.
Move him around a bit, make him a little more American.
What hat? What was that again?
MUGA. MAGA.
You've got to be kidding me.
Preacher man, what was worse in that whole clip? That he was a game changer, that we're going to move him around a little bit?
Not
or
MUGA.
Make him more American?
Well, by moving around, it seems like he's playing the kids overweight, so he's got to work on the weight issue. That's what I'm thinking.
Wow. It got real shady in here. And you know he's a svelte 6'8", 225, right? Svelte.
I have some sort of card here that I can play that we never play this clip again. I mean, this goes away after this, right?
No, that's not
true. Necessarily. We can make no promises.
We have no cards on this show.
No. You're just
is
off
he still
the
on
list.
The list, though, Preacher Man?
No, he's good right
he's
now.
Off the list, right? Oh, well, that's a pleasant development for you.
So, Knox, here's what I want to ask you. We all will say stuff, and then, like, later on in that day, you go, oh, I can't believe I said that. I've had many times where I've had to – like, in my head, I'm going, I might get fired for this because I said something really stupid. Did you have those moments when you left the studio and went in the back and then heard the promo playing over and over again?
I've had this conversation 20 times with people here about how that was literally the dumbest thing I've said since I started working here 2.5 years ago.
Uh-uh.
Absolutely. Now, I've lost a bet.
No, it wasn't.
What's dumber than that?
The dumbest thing
you
said in here was
no chance.
There's no chance in hell that Clemson even hangs.
I was wrong about that, but that wasn't dumb. That was just, I was
well,
wrong.
Kinda
about
was.
That.
Man, saying no chance
it
was
got you.
Dumb.
It got your head carved up.
Now,
it
did you like? I don't know if you got to listen to the segment after you left the studio when
you
we
guys
started
made a promo out of it.
Well, when we started breaking down what could make him more American.
Oh, I hate everybody here right now. And an NFL court.
All right.
You got another clip, Mark.
What more could there be?
Oh, there's got to be another clip to this. So I think we've broken down. Is it 2-2? You guys, hold on. We got another clip. Before.
And an NFL quarterback, 9 inches is about the lower end of the threshold, and that's where Baker Mayfield is.
Wow.
Full measure.
What are you, a talent evaluator for Vivid Entertainment? What's going on here?
Knox Bardeen for West Coast Productions.
So apparently Mark has a Knox folder back
there. Well, as there should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have two of the best studs in the country, uh-huh. and you're not pounding it down people's throats.
I thought he was talking about us there for a minute.
I had a terrible loss. Someone stuck up on him. I'm not going to ding him that much.
It's a limp mic.
Yeah, that microphone keeps dripping down on you.
I remember that day, too. Stop being the stooge on their show. That was my wife, yeah, actually.
Any more?
Keep firing them away, Mark.
I'm getting a good laugh out of this. I'm becoming more American as I listen to this.
I love it.
Oh, man. Knox, it's good to have you in studio. All right, let's bicker. What do we want to bicker about other than the Clips?
I want the best eight teams in college football to play in this tournament. How about the only way to make it real.
To make it real.
Boy, that's a hot take from Knox Bardeen. Dang. Oh. So, John and
I help you out here.
Home of the Brave.
I was actually pretty proud of that.
You hit the high note nicely right there. Not like Timothy Miller. It's SunTrust Park. Shout out to Timothy Miller, man. Oh, my God. What a phenomenal job by him. Always, but especially yesterday on a very special Memorial Day. We've been debating whether four straight Cleveland Golden State Finals is good or bad for the NBA. Maybe you heard some of the conversation. But and John really just kind of said, you know, the NBA has a competitive balance problem. I agreed with him, but also said, Knox, that the NBA – the last team to sell was the Rockets for $2.2 billion. The NBA currently is on a 9-year, $24 billion television deal. And the ratings for last year's NBA Finals were the best since the Jordan era. So there's a competitive balance issue or you know, deficit, but I still think the NBA is abundantly healthy.
It is super healthy, but from a fan perspective, Knox, all of us back in October picked Golden State and Cleveland to go to the finals. So all the fake drama, and I'm going to call it that from now on, the NBA regular season is fake drama to me. Oh, Cleveland, LeBron James is doing this, and the Warriors, they're just uninterested. Okay, they play when it matters. But I went and did some research, which is very rare for me, because typically I just say stupid things and hope that they stick. Since 1980, and I used 80 because that's about the time I started remembering sports. Since 1980, the NBA has had 11 different NBA champions. 11 franchises have won titles out of 30. In that same span, the NFL's had 18 out of 32 have won titles. Baseball's had 21 out of 30 different teams win Major League, win World Series. And college football, and I know the number's much bigger, but they've had 21 different college football champions in that time. Basketball is almost half of anybody else. Do you deem that a problem?
It's a parity issue. That's for certain. And one of the big reasons is that it's very much easier, it's a whole lot easier to create super teams in the NBA than it is in the NFL or Major League Baseball. So that's why it's happening. I mean, if Durant hadn't gone to Golden State, would they have been in four straight?
Nope.
Maybe.
I don't.
They won 73 games
without Kevin Durant. I don't know if
they'd have won
this one. They may not have won the previous couple, but they wouldn't have won this year. Houston would have taken that series without Durant.
I mean, it's debatable, but I would say that no. I don't think it would have been four in a row. The Warriors have said it. We got Kevin Durant to put us over the hump. So, in other words, their margin of victory and their margin for error was shrinking, and they noticed that when they lost that series to Cleveland. So let's go add the second or third best player on planet Earth, and then we make it unfair and we win it all.
The perplexing side of it's Cleveland. I mean, we looked at Cleveland in the regular season and said, this team's not going anywhere. They're going to be lucky to make the postseason. And now LeBron James, being the best basketball player on the planet, has pulled four nobodies along with him to go to the finals. I mean, you can't really say he's team building there, because he's the team.
Well, he tried to team build. He set up the trades to get rid of Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder and go get these younger guys, and they've sort of worked out. They're in the finals, so I guess in all actuality, it has worked out. That's just LeBron being great. Even in February, I said Cleveland's going to the finals. Even when they were struggling, and you got to beat this guy four times in a playoff series, and Golden State and San Antonio are really the only teams in the last 8 years, and I know the Mavericks back in 2011, that have been able to do it. Here's how I fix, if there is a fix, and the NBA has always been easier to win because there's less people on the court, there's less people to influence a game than in baseball or in football in any sort. But a couple of things I would do if I'm the NBA to fix the parity issue. Put a hard salary cap, period. No more tax exemptions, no more bird exemptions, no more none of this stuff that allows you to go, well, I'm spending $100 million in cap, but I've got three guys on bird exceptions that don't count towards the salary cap, so I can spend $200 million. And for the Warriors, they're just going to keep doing that because they go, hey, getting to the NBA Finals is better than me not doing it. And the final thing, no lottery. Your worst, you pick first. The end. It's not stopping teams from not wanting to win. We had seven teams that didn't want to win this year. Hard cap, no more exceptions, no lottery. And I think you somewhat fix the competitive balance issue.
I'm with you. I don't have any problem with what you're saying there. I don't know if is the lottery really that big of a deal. It's not like the top teams are sneaking in and grabbing one of those first 14 picks. Other than a trade happening, it's still the worst 14 teams. Mm-hmm. And they kind of got it right this year, right?
No, because Sacramento was what, seventh, and they jumped up to number two.
Yeah, there was some movement, but it was chalk most of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix, obviously, number one was chalk. The non-chalk was Memphis and Dallas falling, right, and Atlanta and Sacramento rising. So four of the 14 slots moved, but that's like 28%. So 72% was chalk.
But I do like your salary cap. That's going to eliminate team building to the degree that we have mm-hmm. it now.
Yeah, and you have a lot of that because these guys realize they can circumvent the salary cap. We can't circumvent giving you $1,000. We want to do that right now, Mark Owens, on Sports Radio 92.9.
Now okay. It's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
FEET. F-E-E-T. FEET is your code word. 72881 is the number to text it to. FEET would be the one. You'll have to 59 past the hour to text FEET to 72881. It's your chance to win $1,000. Some would say Steph Curry has sweet feet when he drives to the basket.
Shaq always talks about his great feet work,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, not yeah. a word, but I use words that aren't words. Super quick, my take on the hard cap thing. I don't really believe that the NBA wants parity all that much.
I don't think they do.
And if they wanted parity, you put a hard cap, and now it you know, Golden State would not be able to have Durant, Steph, Clay, and Dre.
Why don't happen. They want parity?
Because they want the best teams in the biggest series,
mm-hmm.
and that's the system that they have set up. To John's point, if you put in a hard cap, it would create parity in the NBA. But they haven't done that. Why haven't they done that? That's why. The NBA up in New York City, they're pretty happy about a Golden State-Cleveland final. They're going to get amazing ratings.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have all of us talking about this series and all these games for 2 weeks. I'm just saying, the NBA is getting what they
is
want.
Is the NBA star-driven? Is that why you're
absolutely.
Saying
absolutely.
Big time. And to your point with, you know, it's easier to build a super team or easier to cobble together three studs and go win that championship. And just the game of baseball is just so darn unpredictable, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can get Chris Sale on Sunday. We lose the first two games at Boston, and then ironically, we beat Sale?
Right, exactly.
That's baseball in a nutshell. I do want, Knox, I had a problem with this soundbite from Julio Jones to TMZ about Calvin Ridley. I want you to listen to a couple of words here. When Julio says he's a raw talent, do you agree with that? Let's just play it.
I'm very excited. So much I can teach him. He's a raw talent, very talented guy. But coming to the next level, it's always good to have an older head guy in there to help you. He's built by Alabama, went to Alabama, man.
Yeah.
Everything
roll
about
tide.
Him. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. He gonna come with it.
Okay, so to me, it's kind of shady to refer to Calvin Ridley, one of the great route runners who's come out of college in the last generation, a raw talent.
That was an uncomfortable conversation right there to begin with, because he's trying to say, I'm the elder statesman and I'm going to bring this kid, put him under my wing.
But,
you know, Calvin Ridley isn't coming in as some...
No, but where's Julio?
Well, he's not there yet. He's going to be there.
Why are you talking about being the old head when you're in Cali with T.O.?
These are voluntary workouts. Why are we all upset that he's not there?
That right there. How are you going to call Calvin Ridley a raw talent? Come on, man.
I think I'm the only one that had no issue with
him. My issue is this TMZ idiot didn't ask him the... multi-million-dollar question, do you want a new contract?
Oh, no.
Well, come on.
No, he did ask him. He said, so how's the contract negotiations going?
The non-existent contract negotiations.
Yes. Do you want more money? Is goodness. That why you're not there? Ask that question, please.
I'm just mad he didn't ask him if he was more American. That's.
Oh, come on.
You're a good sport, Knox.
You are. And I've never seen you turn that red. That is the best
that
thing
was
ever.
An idiotic.
Can
statement.
We hear that one more time, Mark,
no.
before we go to break? Because when we come back, it'll be one more round. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals. Are you excited for it? We'll check the Vision Computers Twitter poll as well. Next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Knox.
Are you taking Doncic at three?
I am. Absolutely. I think this guy's a game changer. Now we're going to have to get him over here and maybe move him around a little bit, make him a little more American.
And you want to know what's even wronger about America?
What's that?
Knox.
I hate when people say that. Like, it's they're NBA players, and yeah, they're new and whatnot, and Bron is amazing. He played an unbelievable playoff run to date and has willed his team. You know, don't disrespect the other guys out there. They fought hard, too.
All right, Steph Curry, you know what he's doing right there? He's already in gamesmanship mode for mm-hmm. the finals.
Yep.
And he threw a major compliment out to J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, Kyle Korver, all the others on the Cleveland Cavaliers, Kevin Love included. And obviously LeBron is a great player, and LeBron could drag a ragtag group to the finals. He just did. Rick and John here. One more round on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Since we just heard from Steph, let me hit you with it. Did you see Steph's stat line last night?
Yeah.
It's like 29-7-10 some. I'll look it up and get it to
seven
you exactly.
Seven threes, I believe.
There are some that think Stephen Curry is not clutch.
Yeah, that's incorrect.
Are you one of them?
No.
All right. Now, has he hit the walk-off buzzer-beating three? I don't know. Probably at some point. But, John, TNT showed a graphic of Steph Curry's numbers in game sevens mm-hmm. in his career. It was like 26.5 points, 5 boards, and 6 assists in game sevens with good shooting, by the way. 42% was his percentage on threes. And then last night he does what he does. So if you're out there in your car, we love you. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you don't think Stephen Curry is unclutch, because he actually is really clutch.
I would say in that series, Steph and Klay Thompson were more clutch than Kevin Durant. And I get mm-hmm. it. Last night, Durant, second quarter on, played really well. But boy, at the beginning, he was not in a rhythm. He wasn't getting things going. I thought in game four when they lost, they got way too Durant-centric with him at the head of the key. Durant is a great player, one of the three or four best guys in all of the NBA. There are moments when I don't think he wants the ball at the head of the key being the guy that's initiating the offense. He wants to come off a screen, post, run his offense that way. Steph, when they needed buckets last night and Klay Thompson's in foul trouble, Steph wasn't afraid to take them from anywhere.
Not at all. So the Steve Kerr, Kevin Durant thing, mm-hmm. we talked about it. In game four, he dusted off the old tale of Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan.
Right.
Did not help Kevin Durant. Now, that spilled in, of course, we talked about and documented. Kevin Durant got one touch in the final 3 minutes of game four. Of course, a Houston victory. Game five, another Houston victory. And Kevin Durant didn't really look like himself. He started looking like himself in game six, right, when they blew out Houston in the second half. But to me, there's something funky and dysfunctional and weird and off between Kerr and Durant right now. And then comes this tweet last night mm-hmm. for Mark Medina, who is, I believe, an L.A. guy. But nevertheless, he's got the blue dot. He's an NBA reporter, and I like the guy a lot. He said, Steve Kerr on Stephen Curry. And, John, you tell me if you hear any shade in here. I don't want to sell you. You tell me if you hear any shade. Steve Kerr on Stephen Curry. Quote, he seems to infuse us with energy. Kevin keeps us going with his methodical scoring. But when Steph and Klay get it going from three, that's when they seem to take off.
Mm-hmm.
Shade or no shade?
A little bit of shade.
A little bit of shade.
And I think it's spot on. When they've got the ball, and I know they talked about this a lot during the seven-game series, when Golden State is ball moving, running their offense, running motion, they're unguardable. I mean, point blank, it doesn't matter what guys are on the court, they're unguardable. When they become stand at the head of the key, try to either run a pick and pop or just let a guy go one-on-one, they become guardable because they're – I don't want to sell them short of being great athletes because they're all great athletes, but they're not unbelievable finishers. It's not like LeBron going to the basket or James Harden going to the basket where it's either bucket or get fouled, one or the other. They've got to try to manufacture shots in that variety. Klay is not great off the dribble. He can handle, but he's a great spot-up shooter. He's a great come-off-the-curl shooter. I don't think Kevin Durant's great off the dribble. Can from time to time, but when they run their offense and Kevin's involved, they're the best offensive machine I think I've ever seen in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree. They're the best offensive team I've seen since the Magic Johnson Los Angeles Lakers back in the 80s. John, as we give the people one more round, belly up to the bar, y'all. I have I this is literally probably my favorite tweet that I've ever sent out. Did you see the tweet I sent out? It was right before Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals when Cleveland beat Boston at TD Garden. Did you see this tweet?
Which one?
I said with, I know, a lot of polls I've been putting out. With Kevin Love on the sideline, and may he get well soon, who is the second best at Cavs player? And I tagged James on this, 92.9 The Game, of course. The options were George Hill, J.R. Smith, Jeff Green, and Trae Young.
Who's not even on their team.
Not even on the team.
But they pick eighth.
I'm mocking Trae Young to the Cavaliers number eight, for what it's worth. But I put this out there, John, and it got almost 400 votes. Who do you think won this poll?
Trae Young.
George Hill, J.R. Smith, Jeff Green, and Trae Young.
Trae Young.
A tie for first place, Trae Young and George Hill. Twitter, thank you for the sarcasm. Thank you for understanding the sarcastic tip in which I put this poll out. Trae Young and George Hill, 31%. Jeff Green, 21%. And J.R. Smith, 17%.
And by the way, George Hill is hot garbage. And I accentuate hot. He is hot garbage. George Hill is one of the worst point guards in the NBA. And he's making $20 million.
He's a backup. You know, people were wondering, why would George Hill, a veteran, a guy that's usually on playoff teams, why would he go to Sacramento? That's why. Mm-hmm. Sacramento super overpaid to get him. And what he last, did he last a half a year with the Kings?
Maybe. But our Twitter poll will last forever and ever in the world of Twitter. And it's up at Rick and John 929.
Well, at least for another 21 hours and 27 minutes.
Okay.
So the question for today is, Cavs and Warriors, round four. You are, basically getting your temperature on this, you are all in. I love it. Only 17% of the votes right now.
I got to go vote.
Are you? But I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm.
That's another option. That is now taking the lead at 44%.
Okay.
And your third and final option, not again. I'm out. 39%.
Dang it. I just voted, and I didn't change the percentages at all.
Really funny response coming from the Sultan. Golden State got good through drafting good players and building on a solid foundation. LeBron is fueled by Infinity Stones. You want different teams? Draft better or seek Stan Lee for help.
Yeah, that's and you know what? Golden State's obviously great now because of free agency and Kevin Durant. But part of that was a guy they had drafted, and Harrison Barnes was a free agent at the same time as Kevin Durant. They go, we'll take Durant. Durant,
note right there. Stephen Curry, drafted by the Warriors. Klay Thompson, drafted by the Warriors. And by the way, both were sort of shrewd below where they should have been taken. Guys, Draymond Green, second-round pick.
Right.
We all know that. They get Kevin Durant through free agency. They either got Andre Iguodala through a trade or free agency, and I think it was a trade from Denver. So many moves, so many details, I can't remember. But the infrastructure of their dynasty was from the draft.
Yeah, it was Draymond
Hawks
Green,
fans.
It was Steph Curry, it was Klay Thompson. That's and Harrison Barnes, because he was part of the original championship that they win. So, and then you think about some of the bench guys they have. Patrick McCaw, was he a draft guy?
Correct.
For them?
Yep.
Kevin Looney, draft guy. Jordan Bell, draft guy. David West, you know what he is. He's a mercenary trying to get a ring.
Ring chasing.
Yeah. But they had a lot of guys, Quinn Cook included. They were draft guys. And that's how they went. And Sean Livingston's a guy that was a reclamation project.
By the way, David West is going to come back into this series. Houston was getting him in those perimeter switches with their smalls,
which was
a terrible scenario for him. But let's be honest, John, when they would get the switch with Jordan Bell, and he's athletic and he can move his feet, he got torched every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time Jordan Bell got torched. And he made plays to help Golden State, but he's got a long way to go. He's a second-round rookie who barely played during the regular season, and he's out there. You know why? Because Kevon Looney isn't an NBA player. Did you see my tweet last night? I asked, does anybody understand the Kevon Looney experiment? Would you not rather have Sean Livingston on the court or even Nick Young on the court?
How about JaVale McGee?
They haven't played him at all.
At all.
And I'm not sure why, but probably because you need shot making and all that kind of stuff. But I just don't understand the Kevon Looney experiment. I don't see the need for him to start in any game. And yes, I do know that they're down a man due to injury.
Yeah, they are, and he does what he can. I thought Bell had one of the most underrated passes of the NBA Finals that nobody talked about. They talk about the moving screen that he set on Steph's first three. When they come back and run the exact same action, and Jordan Bell goes between his own legs with a no-look bounce pass right in the shooting pocket, and Steph Curry splashes one. And they never even mentioned it on the broadcast. They go, oh, they just ran the same action. Well, no, he didn't drive block a guy, and he had a really nice pass. A
couple other takes here. Yeah, I mean, it was a great pass. Any, the little between the wickets pass from a Jordan Bell, very impressive. Sort of, I didn't think he was that skilled, to be honest with you, in terms of passing the rock. So, John, let's talk about LeBron super quick.
Mm-hmm.
48 minutes played. Did not sit a single second in Game 7. It's mind-boggling. 35-15-9, that's not. That's what he does in the big-time playoff games. But did you see afterwards, he walked right by Daniel Gilbert, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's on Twitter. You can go check it out if you want. I think I hit like on it. No. I retweeted it with a bunch of smiley faces on it. So you can hit up my personal Twitter account. But go to at Rick and John 929. Go to at 929 the game on Twitter first. But anyway, dude, like we know that it's icy between LeBron James and Dan Gilbert. But you can't even give him a fist pound?
Nope.
You can't even give him, like, any dap at all. And it looked like Daniel Gilbert didn't want anything to do with LeBron James. It's not like Gilbert was like, here comes the dap. Here comes the love. Here it comes. Oh, whoa. I just got totally shaded right there. It didn't look like Dan Gilbert wanted any love from LeBron either. Does that mean that when LeBron and the Cavs lose this finals, that he gone?
I don't know. You know, could he end up in Houston? Houston, Chris Paul's a free agent. They're one piece short. Trevor Ariza is a free agent, so there could be some money there. Does he take less money there? Who knows?
Boy, can they have a collective surgery in the offseason, the Houston Rockets, to remove the Romo gene?
Nope. I think they're stuck with that forever.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.